Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, pod people, and welcome back to another episode of Classic Ads from Simpler Times, where once again, and just for a change, the issue of plagiarism will raise its ugly head as we attempt to bring another bit of simple into your complex lives, in this case by looking at an old TV advert with some very old attitudes. This week's listen takes us back to 2005 and a TV ad that suggests that if you dinky die, then your celebration of yet another stop on the global Euro-sponsored genocide tour, known as colonialism, should be marked by eating baby sheep. It's fair to say that this little beauty from Meat and Livestock Australia has not travelled as well as Bez from the Happy Mondays, but has probably got a slightly better reputation than Chappelle Corby. 16 years is a long time in advertising. In 2005, insulting Brazilian people and putting forward the idea of capital punishment for vegetarians was funny and a bit edgy. In 2021, Hungry Jack's, that's Burger King to you non-antipodes, are selling Whoppers with no meat in, and your brand now looks about as relevant as the Filofax that Harvey Weinstein left down the back of his casting couch. I'm Steve Cook. My co-host is award-winning advertising creative and TV ad director Tony Williams. And we're glad that you can join us as the Australian Advertising Agency of the Decade enlists an ex-footy player to try to make lamb on Australia Day as popular as turkey at Christmas. You're going to love this advert, just as long as you don't like pizza or Tom Yum, and you're not a hippie or a doll bludger, a vegetarian or a vegan. Foreigners probably aren't going to be too enthusiastic either. But Pauline Hanson, Clive Palmer and Tony Abbott all told me that they loved it. So you'll be in good company if it does float your boat.
All right.
Hello.
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 Okay, welcome back, Tones, to... Hello. What's the name of the podcast? Classic Ads.
From Simpler Times.
From Simpler Times. The year is 2005.
2005.
Of all the years that we've done so far, this is the most boring year for news.
Is it?
Yeah, the most exciting thing that I could find is that Bez won the third series of Celebrity Big Brother.
You won't believe this. A conversation we were having earlier about Frank Skinner's podcast, following our David Jones review, following our Keith and Orville discussion, following our coronation news, had a long discussion about Bez. Because apparently, he's stepping in to a online health thing, because that's a big thing in lockdown,
he's doing his
right?
His YouTube fitness channel, isn't it?
Yeah, so he's not stepping in, he's stepping up.
Stepping out.
They were talking about him shaking the maracas all the time. That was his, you know, officially. And they had a long conversation about Bez. So I'm sorry, the fact that you bring that up is a little bit...
What was that movie called that they made about the bloke... Who
24-hour party people?
24-hour where Steve Coogan played
Anthony H. Wilson.
Tony Wilson.
Yeah. Anthony H. Wilson. Never heard of it.
Then the bit that I remember with Bez is that the Happy Mondays weren't going to the recording studio unless Bez is in the recording studio.
Oh, really?
Just dancing around. He doesn't actually do anything.
No, that's it. That's just percussion. Then brought a whole conversation, because apparently the first lockdown, he said he struggled through it. The second, he doesn't remember. And the third, no, the first lockdown, he said he spent over £100 a week on chocolate. Sounds familiar.
Him, Bez, and your man Sean Ryder doing Gogglebox are very funny. They're like an old married couple.
Is that right?
It's lovely. The second most exciting thing I could find in 2005 was that Prince Harry went to a fancy dress party.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
What did he dress up as?
He dressed as Mein Führer, uncle. Isn't she German, Lizzie?
Yeah, they're all German, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm dressing as uncle.
He actually dressed as Colonel Dietrich from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, dearly, wunderbar. What with his golden balls?
Prince Charles got married, finally got round to marrying his bit on the side.
Bestiality.
Camilla Parker, horse, or whatever she's called. Top of the Pops. What time was Top of the Pops on?
7 p.m. Thursday night, straight after Tomorrow's World.
Yeah. Was that the theme tune?
No, it was...
Was that your Led Zeppelin impression?
It was close. Oh, come on, sorry. All right.
Top of the Pops moves to BBC Two after 41 years on Thursday night.
Did it move to BBC Two?
BBC Two. Lack of relevance.
Oh. This is
2005.
Who was promoting it that year? Who was presenting it? It wasn't.
Where were you in 2005?
I was here? In Japan. I just had my own agency.
I was celebrating 10 years in Australia, so I hadn't watched Top of Pops.
No, you probably watched E.T.
The famous children's classic, which you won't remember because you're too young, Muffin the Mule.
Oh, Muffin the Mule.
I've only put this in because I thought I might be able to get
Muffin the Mule.
Andre from Muffin the Mule.
No, I think Muffin the Mule, wasn't he? He was a puppet.
Yep.
And he kept kicking a lot.
Yep. He had strings.
He had strings. And wasn't he with Bill and Ben?
It was the same... genre?
Yeah, because you know why the garden path is so green?
No.
Because Bill and Ben float a lot.
Right.
But it was black and white, I remember Muffin the Mule.
Yep.
Yep.
Meanwhile, in Weatherfield, wishy-washy Coronation Street intellectual Ken Barlow.
Was he getting married?
Ken is reeling from a string of failed romances. So he's decided that the solution to all his problems was to get back with Deirdre. After laying siege to Deirdre's heart for 6 years in 2005.
You laid his siege where?
They were finally remarried.
Oh, where did they go on holiday? Where did they go for their anniversary? Go on. It wasn't Corfu, was it?
I couldn't find out.
With the old Garth, probably.
Meanwhile, in the colonies, so we're going to do a bit of Australia because today's ad is Australian. In the colonies, a 15-year-old boy known as Tramboy steals a tram in Melbourne and proceeds to drive around
where
Melbourne.
He went. He's not going to be taking a shortcut, is he?
Proceeds to drive around Melbourne for 40 minutes before being stopped by the police. When he was asked why he did it, his reply was, because I could. Chappelle Corby was convicted of drug smuggling.
Never did it. Those 16 grams of weed in my bodyboard bag from the last summer were not mine.
Wolf Creek is the movie that everybody's watching.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen it.
Two backpackers go around, get caught up by some big perv. He has his nasties with him, kills him. End of story. Typical day in WA.
So, I mean, it's your basic
Australia Day mini.
Outback story, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. This reveals everything about the state of Australian politics. New South Wales opposition leader John Brogan described Premier Bob Carr's wife, Helena, as a mail order bride in Parliament.
Nice. She was a mail order bride in Parliament.
He resigned and then the next day attempted suicide.
He only tried.
How random is that?
Wow.
Anyway, the reason for our renewed interest in Australia is that today's ad marks the start of a very successful series of advertising campaigns built around January 26, Australia Day, or is now known to an increasingly large section of the population, Invasion Day.
Invasion Day.
I think we should swerve the politics of Australia Day and just look at the ad. What do you reckon?
Yeah, but you've got to know the context of it. If you don't know what Australian Day is, if you know about July the 4th, Independence Day, it's exactly the opposite. Isn't it? It's basically everything you know just is the opposite, as far as I know anyway. Something live, you say?
I don't feel qualified to talk about the politics of Australia Day anymore.
Well, no, we won't. But there's still talk about should it be, shouldn't it be. But regardless, they've pushed forward with this this ad for an Australian product.
The ad is for Meat and Livestock Australia, which is... What would you think that Meat and Livestock Australia is?
Male order brides.
I thought it was going to be some kind of government organisation designed to help, you know, flog meat.
Yeah, well, male order brides.
Meat and Livestock Australia is a private company with 300 employees and a turnover of $270 million.
How many employees?
300.
And then nearly, so basically each employee is almost worth $1 million.
Apparently.
Wow. How many are human? So the meat and like anything with Australia should be a government company, a government organisation, shouldn't it? If it says, if we called ourselves like Beanbags Australia, you'd expect there to be a politician involved.
Or funding.
Or funding or something like that, yeah. Entrepreneurial seating.
We change the name of the podcast.
So what's that?
We just change the name of the podcast.
Classic ads from simpler times.
Australia.
Made in Australia. True.
Automatically guaranteed a shitload of money.
Yeah, and we could be late, take time, no problem. So the meat and livestock...
Meat and Livestock Australia.
Okay.
Private company, 300 employees, turnover of 270 million Australian.
Most of it obviously exported.
Alive, in boats.
Yeah. That's what happens. Yeah. A lot of it goes over to the Middle East, so it can be killed halal in a boat.
But basically they're boosters for meat.
What do you mean boosters?
Isn't that a term? Boosters. We're a booster for meat.
Well, I don't know.
We make...
What's a meat booster?
We make people eat meat. We popularise beef.
Oh, okay.
And lamb. Red meat, mostly.
Red meat.
They don't do chicken.
Pleased to meet you with the meat to please you.
Their marketing is a bit weird, or it's not weird, but they have tried to... They're using their kind of their inappropriateness as a signifier.
We can say today it's very Trump-esque.
It is. So recent marketing campaigns that have attracted criticism included a 2016 ad that contained a scene depicting a member of a SWAT team breaking into the home of a vegan and using a flamethrower to burn their food. In 2017, there was a campaign called You'll Never Lamb Alone.
Oh, dear.
Which was criticised because the ad featured Ganesha and Buddha, who are holy figures in Hinduism and Buddhism, eating red meat, despite them both being vegetarian gods.
Wow.
So you can see where they're going. They're trying to do a bit of...
shock value.
Shock value. They're trying to be annoying.
Like the cattle prod.
Yeah. That's it. The cattle prod of advertising.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk us through this ad?
The ad shows the guy is Sam Kekovich?
Kekovich.
Now, who is Sam Kekovich for a start?
Sam Kekovich refers to notes here. Best known as an Aussie rules footballer turned media commentator, he played for North Melbourne in the 1960s and the 70s, winning a grand final with the team in 1975, which if you don't live in Australia is a pretty big thing. It's like winning the Super Bowl or winning the Premier League. So that's Sam Kekovich.
Okay, so he's your true blue Aussie legend, as close as
Dinky
you get.
Die.
So he sits there with an Australian flag behind him. Very Trump-esque, actually, you say it now. I mean, if you can imagine any speech that Trump's made in the last 18 months, this is pretty much the tone and manner of the commercial. And he's promoting Australianness. And if you don't do this, then you're not Australian. If you don't do that, you're not Australian. And he tells us that we're not Australian if we don't eat lamb. But I guess it's probably best if we just play the ad so you can hear the audio. Insert audio here.
There's nothing worse than being un-Australian. I should know. I've been Australian all my life, and I'm sickened by the creeping tide of un-Australianism eroding our great traditions, like our custom of eating lamb on Australia Day. Un-Australianism is everywhere. For example, people wearing those plastic, brightly coloured flip-flop shoes with flowers on them. What's wrong with rubber thongs in simple primary colours? If I hear another person say thong when they mean those swimming costumes punty Brazilian blokes wear up their bums, I'll do my block. Sadly, the scourge of un-Australianism has even infected our national day. A balanced Australia Day diet should consist of a few nice juicy lamb chops and beer, and perhaps a bit of pavlova for those with a sweet tooth. Yet your long-haired, dull, bludging types are indulging their pierced taste buds in all manner of exotic, foreign, often vegetarian cuisine. Chicken burger value meals, pizzas, a number 42 with rice. It's an absolute disgrace. And people ask why we need capital punishment. Do you think the diggers in the trenches were fighting for tofu sausages? No. They're thinking of grabbing a lamb chop off the barbie with their bare fingers, sustaining third-degree burns, then sticking their hands in a relieving esky to fish out a cold one. Look at our national song, Waltzing Matilda. It's about a bloke trying to get a nice bit of lamb into his tucker bag. Not spicy chicken wings. The soap-avoiding, pot-smoking hippie vegetarians may disagree with me, but they can get stuffed. They know the way to the airport, and if they don't, I'll show them. So the message is clear, even for you backpackers. Roll out the barbie, ensure the gas bottle's filled, stack the fridge full of lamb, and prepare the invitation list. So don't be an Australian. Serve lamb on Australia Day. You know it makes sense. I'm Sam Kekovich.
Old Sam Kekovich, eh? So, what makes me laugh, I've got to say, I actually don't like the ad, personally.
Oh, okay.
I'll get it right out there. I just think it's baiting the obvious. And if you look at the likes on that particular ad we watched, there was 900 likes and 90 dislikes. So 10% of Australia or the world agrees with me. And maybe it's because I don't know who he is. He talks about Waltzing Matilda being our national song, whilst in the background is Advance Australia Fair, which actually is the national anthem. So if you want to be Australian, get your facts right first, Sam. A few too bunts to the head there. But what do you think of it?
I'm torn. I'm very torn.
Like Natalie Imbruglia. Or a young woman in... No.
I like the delivery. I think the script is... I think in 2005, that script... I would love that script in 2005, but it doesn't hold up in 2021. That's not why we're here, though, is it? Because hindsight's always 50-50. I went all Alan Partridge then. Hindsight is famously 2020, isn't it? I think that was a case of my not meeting our own standards as fast as we can actually lower them. But even in 2005, they were pushing some buttons that they knew were going to create. I mean, let's be honest. What they were trying to do is create a load of shitty PR or a load of PR. There's no such thing as shitty PR. A load of PR around an ad. They're trying to amplify the ad spend. They're trying to flog lamb. And what I think there is a longer-term strategy in play. They are trying to turn lamb if you think of Christmas, you think of turkey. You think of Easter, you think of Easter eggs. I think they're very cynically trying to get people to think of Australia Day and lamb.
Mm.
And I suspect that it does it quite well.
Okay, so yeah, so I think they would have, they did associate lamb, I guess, with Australia. And it's funny, you know, we look back and think about the buttons they were pressing then, and it was things like vegetarians, you know? And there's actually nothing wrong with any of the ad, to be honest. They don't say anything, except maybe if you're Brazilian, where he talks about the thongs. You know, Australia thongs are something we wear on our feet, and in many other places around the world, something that you...
Look, I think if you wanted to do a list of people that are potentially offended by that ad, you could start with Brazilians.
Yeah.
Move on to doll bludgers, which is basically anybody in need of financial assistance from the government.
Yep.
Hippies, vegetarians, vegans, people who eat Italian food, people who eat Asian food, people who call thongs flip-flops, and basically anybody who is an Australian. We should point out again for non-Australian listeners that it is possible to be Australian, but at the same time be un-Australian. And this is based on a popular culture ideal or idea of what is Australian and what isn't Australian, or what is Australian behaviour and what isn't. I'll tell you what isn't Australian behaviour.
Working.
It's stealing an idea, lock, stock and barrel.
From where?
And then denying that you did it.
I did not.
No. Oh. No, it's not. Oh, God, I fell for that one, didn't I? It's like, oh, don't upset Tony. Don't accuse Tony of plagiarism. One,
get over it.
Don't accuse Tony of plagiarism.
You day what? Okay, what was it?
Okay, so... once he finished playing footy, Sam Kekovich became a bit of a media commentator because he was happy to take the mickey out of himself.
But they all do. There's
and
not
he
a lot
ended
else.
Up on an ABC show called The Fat, where in every episode, and he did this for 100 episodes, two blokes called, what are their names? Damian Davis and Nick Price wrote him a monologue, which was delivered in front of an Australian flag and ended with the words, "You know it makes sense, I'm Sam Kekovich," and were delivered at a script speed of roughly 3 words a second.
Mm.
This ad features Sam Kikovich reading a script at 3.5 words per second in front of an Australian flag and ends with the words, "You know it makes sense, I'm Sam Kikovich."
What did it say in the TV show?
The fact was I never watched it, but apparently it was a topical, satirical.
So it could have been a bit even worse then.
It could have been about anything. It could be politics, sport, music. The agency that came up with the ad was Brown Mel Hewish Fishlock, BMF.
Ah, Brown Melushi Fishlock.
The creative director was Warren Brown.
Yeah, because they were the creators of the time, weren't they?
They were. The Hot Shop.
Yeah. They all left. Where did they leave to start that? It wasn't Drogue, was it?
I think one of them went to start the Monkees.
No, before that. Before they started BMF. I remember when they started BMF.
Well, Warren Brown, who's the creative director on this ad, was given his break by John Hegarty at BBH in London.
Is that right?
BMF was B&T's Agency of the Year in 2010. Again, for non-Australian listeners, B&T is the equivalent of Campaign magazine. Agency of the Decade in 2010, off the back of the work for the Meat and Livestock Association. Meat and Livestock Australia. I suppose if we're going to carry on with the rolling delusion of relevance, which is this podcast, then getting the client's name correct might be helpful. And a body of work for TUIs.
At BMF.
The famous bit of work that they did for TUIs was called The Tongue. Do you remember that ad?
Oh, yeah, The Tongue that woke up, and I was in Singapore and I saw that, and it came up to the bedside table. Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy's asleep, the tongue crawls out of his closed mouth, which is a fairly nauseating visual, and then proceeds to wriggle out the house, wriggles down the street, crosses the road, goes into a pub or a house party?
I think it goes into a house party.
It must be a house party because it goes up the stairs and ends up crawling into a bathtub full of TUIs Extra Dry.
That's right.
Pulls the bottle out, reverses the journey, goes back to the house, jumps back into the guy's mouth, dragging the bottle of TUIs Extra Dry. Yeah. He wakes up and he's got the bottle of TUIs in his mouth.
Basically, if your tongue could choose, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's liquor. Ha!
It was simultaneously a kind of interesting idea, but I watched it. And the CGI is shit.
Yeah.
It's really, really poor.
I remember there was a still on the front of Campaign Brief. That's why I remember it. But the thing is, you know, with CGI and special effects, if it's never going to be real, you'll never make it look real. So, you know, a tongue is never going to crawl along the floor.
Yeah.
So you might as well make it look like, you know, what it could be.
Do you remember do you remember what the music was?
I'm sure it's some French.
It was kind of it was the music that made it. It's a track called Satisfaction by a bloke called Benny Benassi.
Mm-hmm.
That was so between the MLA and TUIs, that's what made them Agency of the Year.
Well, I looked up and they did. They were founded in 1996 after leaving the Campaign Palace.
There you go.
That's what I thought about. It's Campaign Palace. That's where they were famous.
So this is the original Kikovich ad. It won a bronze lion at Cannes. It won a bronze lion at Cannes.
Well, did they win bronze or did they lose silver and gold?
It's the most Williams thing ever to say. It's like, oh, silver is just first loser.
I've never said that, but I'll take it.
So BMF won a bronze lion at Cannes for an ad that they ripped off. They literally ripped it off. It's exactly the same format. It's not like it was a one-off sketch that Kikovich did on the fat. They did. Damien Davis and Nick Price wrote 100 scripts. All in the same format with the fast rat-a-tat-tat-tat delivery, flag in the background, Kikovich dressed in his suit and tie, always ends in that phrase, I'm Sam, you know, it makes sense, I'm Sam Kikovich.
Again, I'm sitting here surprised that you're surprised that we're talking about advertising and going, oh, well, it's not original. No, it's been before. We're talking about advertising.
I'm just surprised it's so blatant. I've sat in so many meetings with creatives where, you know, good ideas that have been based on other ideas have got canned because it's not original enough.
That's just because you're working with journalists, creative directors.
So you're saying you're quite comfortable?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the reason a lot of ideas get canned when it uses references, I could probably, you know, find another short, a whole bunch of short films where they speak at that many words per minute in front of a flag. Like I said, are we saying Trump ripped off Sam Kekovich? So, but we know, I know, I understand your point. I'm just, again, surprised that you're surprised. Surprise.
And I'm surprised that you're not surprised because I expect better from creative people, frankly.
Well.
But then silver is first loser.
True.
I've got one silver to my name, Tones.
Good for you, mate. Good for you. And I'm sure you could swim that far again today.
And as far as I know, I am the only suit to have won. Thank you. I know it's nothing to you.
No, it's not saying something. No, I worked with
a
suit
collection
in Japan. It was a suit and he had a cyber line, which I thought was very impressive.
Anyway, so executive creative director, Warren
moving
Brown.
Moving on. Yes.
I kind of want to agree with you. It's more a disappointment.
But the ingredients, the base ingredients are so, yeah, you know, a flag, a desk, a speech, and the same actor. You could look at that and say all the people that have been a celebrity, you know, like Ricky Gervais did an ad a long time ago for Optus. Yes, they paid me a lot of money. I only said I'd do it if there's a lot of money here.
Oh, right. We're back in Jerry Seinfeld territory. Yeah, aren't we?
What's that?
Jerry Seinfeld.
No, but I mean, so it's like, you know, he did it. And so you could say, well, what a ripoff, because everything Ricky Gervais has ever done, who said, I'm Ricky Gervais and made a joke, is being ripped off by Optus. Like, we've all been ripped off by Optus.
Yeah. Okay, you said, and I know you've kind of set your stall out. You're saying that you didn't really like the ad.
Oh, I didn't like it. I just think it was trying too hard.
Do you think it was funny? Was any of it funny?
Well, I did chuckle to a couple of things. I think the thong and being, you know, I'm sorry if that upsets I can't remember what he says about the Brazilians and what have you. Yeah, you know, I scribble on my notepad.
If I hear another person say thong when they mean those swimming costumes punsy Brazilian blokes wear up their bums,
yeah,
I'll do my block.
So, I mean, I find that funny because, you know, being British, we call them flip-flops. And then if someone said I was wearing a thong, they're going, you're wearing a what? Yeah. So that hits home. But otherwise, I just thought it was, again, you know, I find a lot of Australian humour funny. If you say something racist, say fucking it, or, you know what I mean? And then it's suddenly funny. And that's just not my opinion. That's a general consensus.
Yep.
So that's why ratings have just gone up so much. Fuck. Right? On this podcast.
Fuck.
Right? See, we just increased racing three times.
Yeah.
That's four people are listening now. But yeah, I find it. That's why it's not my favourite. I mean, it's good. I would appreciate it if it was a comedy skit that I'd watched on a TV show.
Yeah.
And I'd laugh at it. But I think, is it a gold? Is it a bronze can? Well, we know it's not gold. Is it a bronze?
It's not even second loser, is it? Let's be honest.
No, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, look, yeah, Pierre, we have a spare can left here. We have not awarded. Oh, Australia won anything? No, not this year. Williams has moved. Okay. Give it to those new boys. The boomers.
Oh, I really wanted to love it, and I don't.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of ad it's the kind of ad that I like.
Mm.
It's full of detail and nuance and kind of.
Well, is it the ad you like, or is it comedy you like?
And I think it's probably comedy because of the diet that I grew up on. But it really, a lot of it is actually quite offensive, isn't it? And it's offensive for the sake of being offensive.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, is it, who does it really offend? I'd only be offended if I was a punsy bloke walking down, walking through Rio in my.
What about the line? Do you think the diggers in the trenches were fighting for tofu sausages? If you'd fought in the Second World War or in Korea, is that, you're not bothered? What if you're a long-haired, dull-bludging type? I'm a short-haired.
What if you're both?
I'm a short-haired, dull-bludging type.
What if you're, as I say, a lot of these people they outline could actually be the same person.
Soap avoiding, pot smoking, hippie vegetarians.
Yeah, mate. But that's so generic. That, you know, it's not offending, you know, I don't think you're going to get anyone standing up going, mate, it's not right. You're talking about me.
What I would have loved is, I think what it needed a bigger, a healthier dose of irony to make it clear that we were taking the piss out of ourselves.
See, the problem is, I think it's a very fine line. And that was balancing on the line of supposed to be taking the piss out of ourselves. There would have been a bunch of blokes talking in the pub afterwards, and out of the group, two of them would have thought that it was taking the piss out of Australians and ourselves. The other two would have said, well, mate, it's a bit harsh, you know, I've got mates that are foreign, you know, someone from Northern Territory, right? And then it would be that bloke in the middle said, oh, I don't know, I haven't seen it. So I think it's it could tipple either way. I don't know if you recall that show we watched, which was very funny, which was making fun of Australia, but it was taken from an Indian's viewpoint.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Right? It was hilarious, right? Yep. It was actually incredibly harsh. It painted the Australians out to be super stupid, but it was done so well. Link will be in the description.
There's a link to this series of YouTube videos, which are called How to Talk Australians, in the pod notes. And here's a taste of what you can look forward to.
Yes, learning Australians is not easy. They really are a funny bunch of people. Or should I say, dickheads. Hello and welcome to the first chapter of How to Talk Australian. Over the coming weeks, you'll learn everything about the land down under, Australia.
A recent survey revealed that 30% of Australians are casual racists, which means that the other 70% are full-time.
But first, let's learn a bit about their history.
Australia was first discovered in 1988 by an explorer called Dr. Hook.
In the classroom, Miss Shiva teaches the students some everyday Australian lingo.
Dickhead.
Dumb ass.
Dumb ass.
Sheep shaggers.
Sheep shaggers.
Knockers.
Knockers.
Shit for brains.
Shit for brains.
No, Australians run it all together. Shit for brains.
Shit for brains.
Let's do it once again. Shit for brains.
Shit for brains.
That's better. Let's move on.
Rip it off was a bit of it. Not offensive, but it was done incredibly well. We all laughed at ourselves. And there was at no point did anyone side and go, bloody hell, this is a bit harsh, right? We all thought it was incredibly funny, laughing at ourselves. But this, I think it tries too hard to be funny, and especially about a day which divided the nation, really. Order, order.
Yep. No, I'm
don't
with
you.
You. I'm with you. I think what it needed was extra added irony. I think it needed to be clear that we were taking the piss out of ourselves, and unfortunately, it's a kind of Australian lowest common denominator effort, which is reflected in the cesspit of the internet when you go and find out what people think about this. It's split. There's a little percentage of people going, those poor lambs, they don't deserve to be eaten. This country's fucked because we eat too much meat. Okay. And then the other 99% of the internet just piles on and goes, you and fucking Australian, eh? Fuck off back where you come from. Back and eat some meat. So we're agreed. This is lazy parochial advertising.
Yep.
From a bloke who should know better.
And now I know BMF have done it.
Warren Brown, probably, who's the executive creative director on this job, won 20 Cannes Lions in his career, and he's still at it. So he's a very smart bloke who's done a lot of good work. And his art director, Dale McGuinness, and his copywriter, Dennis Kutala-Jennis.
No, sorry, I'd like to hear that again, was it?
Sorry, Dennis. He didn't get a grip of them. They let this one go through because they thought it was going to meet the brief, and I suspect that the brief was to be provocative.
Yeah, they were probably too busy working late night at the agencies to watch the TV shows that they'd ripped it off from. So the moral of the story is don't let your creatives go home early. Don't give them a second of free time on life to watch any other shows
anyway,
they should have known better.
Sam Kekovich was crowned the Lambassador, which I thought was the best thing about the campaign.
That is very good.
That's a great name.
Yeah, I've got no beef with that. I think he was...
the Lambassador. Yeah. He kept his job from 2005 to 2014.
The only thing I have question is I didn't know who he was. I felt like I should know. So does that make me an Australian from the start? To not know who he was.
So this is this goes to the independent, free Western Australia secession movement. He's a very, the whole thing is very East Coast, well, East Coast Australia.
Yeah, welcome to Australia.
So apparently Sam Kinkovich is a big deal in Melbourne and Sydney. And I think if he, you know, if he stepped into your living room in Perth, 99% of people wouldn't know who he was. So I don't think there's any...
Oh, fucking no, that's shit.
I don't think it's un-Australian to not know who Sam Kinkovich is.
Right, because, I didn't know who he was, so, yeah. I mean...
He's obviously inspired you to sketch a picture of his arse in your little sketchbook.
No, this is
a
Brazilian thong.
Which
again, brings me back to the point, sorry, to be a nitpicker, that about talking about being Australian, and he mentions the song of Waltz Matilda whilst Advanced Australia Fair is in the background. Most people probably listen to this also think Sydney's the capital of Australia. So does Sydney. That's the chair.
When do you buy the new chairs?
When you stop farting on them. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I think we are in agreement. Lazy, lazy, lazy work, except for the part where it sold a shitload of lamb.
Well, there you go. Well, that can't be disputed, can it?
Although Meat and Livestock Australia did do the research themselves. So you can take that with a pinch of thyme.
Oh, nice.
Do you like that?
Who did that, Rosemary? Oh, no, you said they got rid of a lot more joints.
So according to MLA research, 67% of all Australians feel that lamb is the most patriotic meat. What a question.
Advance Australia Fair. That's what it is. What's the most patriotic meat?
You can see the research question. It's loaded like a revolver, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you prefer?
What's the most Australian meat?
Is it A, black bean sauce with beef?
Yeah, is it A, number 42?
Roast chicken with Yorkshire pudding?
Yeah.
Or is it C, Australian lamb?
And over the past years, they tend to get an 80% uptick of servings of lamb in the period that the campaign runs.
Uptick. Butchers. Of servings.
Butchers. Butchers sell more lamb.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would. If someone said to me, what was the Australia Day meat? I'd say lamb, probably. Mm. Not because of the ad.
My theory is that it's a... 2000, famously, was the Sydney Olympics, which was kind of peak Australia, almost.
I remember walking down the street in Sydney just before that, and my jaw hit the ground, and I still remember I was so shocked that there's this kid from late teens walking towards me, and on his T-shirt, in huge Frankie Goes to Hollywood Relax size lettering, it said, "Fuck the Olympics." I just could not believe it. That somebody would walk around with that on their front. But to be in Sydney when I thought, you know, the world was, or Australia was celebrating as the best thing ever. But yeah, fuck the Olympics.
So my theory is that the Olympics was almost peak Australia. It's like the country discovered a confidence in itself and its ability to be a world beater, not just in terms of, you know, the number of gold medals, but the whole organisation of the Olympics and the new stadiums, all that. And it's almost like being a teenager when you get a bit carried away with yourself, and they've just gone on and everybody must love a bit of casual racism. And because we do. And what's wrong with homophobia?
Yeah.
Let's put it in an ad.
Was that around the time where Australia, where the bloody hell are you?
Yeah.
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 Which was one of the worst taglines ever. Yeah.
So they were trying to own Australia Day. I think they pretty much have done it because nobody else. Can you think of anybody else who advertises such a strong link to Australia Day? I couldn't think of anybody.
I can't really think of a brand, no, that owns Australia Day.
So they did it. Well done, BMF. Well done, Warren. You let your boy steal an idea.
Medium rare, actually. I'd give him a medium rare.
You let your boy steal an idea off the ABC. You got yourself...
Third
loser at cards. Well done. And you sold a shitload of lamb. Tony, branding, please.
Oh, branding. So that's difficult because are we branding lamb? No pun intended. Or...
make it stop.
Think of a happy place.
Make it stop.
Because the branding... We're not branding lamb. We're branding the meat and... What is it?
No, it is lamb. They're selling lamb. It's not like they're not. It's not an MLA ad, is it? They're not trying to sell beef and lamb and pork. Okay. And they're trying to sell
the brand
lamb.
The brand is though meat and livestock Australia.
No, I think the advertising is meat and livestock. I would have said that the brand was lamb.
All right,
but I'm happy to have the discussion.
4.9.
Casting, do you like Sam or not?
I honestly don't. It could have been anyone. It could have been the bloke that I bumped into in Bunnings the other day in the aisle that wouldn't want to move, or the one I swam into this morning in the slow lane at the pool. Could have been anyone.
He's a bit of an everyman, Sam, isn't he? Except he's incredibly articulate.
Yeah. I'm listening to an audiobook at the moment. It's interesting. And there's an Australian character in there. And it's incredibly well read. And the guy does accents really well. And so it got to this owner of this restaurant. And he was on the end of the phone. And so the chef or something was saying, you know, oh, demo, can you speak to me? And he goes, Mike, get those cats out of there. All right. And that's exactly what he said, word for word. And straight away, it summarized every Australian you've ever met,
yep.
including my mum. So I think casting, that's got to be a 1.8.
I can tell you now, that's the lowest figure ever.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? The milk tray man got more than him. I said less.
Craft,
it was quite well done.
Is there any craft in that?
Yeah, it was quite well done. I'd love to know how many takes it took, but yeah, it is. As we always say, you have to work very hard to make something simple. I think crafting, that's got to be a good 4.7.
I think I know the answer to this one, but creativity?
Can you never negatively gear? Creativity, well, now I know what I know, that you know I know, that we all know. I know that creativity is probably a 2.3.
That's the lowest. I'm not criticizing. It's like I said, I wanted to love it, and I just didn't. I thought it was a missed opportunity.
There you go. That's a different film. Love Lamb.
Can I ask you a question? You have sat on award juries.
Yes.
As a judge.
Yes.
How did this get a bronze at Cannes? What did it get a bronze for?
Depends how many Australians are in the room.
Obviously, when they did the submission, they didn't put in a bit of video of the ABC.
No.
The fat.
Well, not many people know that.
For reference. So the jury didn't know that.
It would, it would won a lot of award first, I'm sure, the year before, in the November or whatever that is. And normally the top winners of that year are always carrying across the global ones. It's very hard to say, well, I don't think it's any good when the rest of the world did. It would. I mean, it's a thought-provoking, a bit cheeky, a bit naughty. It would have been those Australians, you know, those funny Australians. Is it Ed from Australia or is it from England? We don't know. Those are the Americans, actually. Wouldn't know whether it was Australian or... No, it's an award-winning ad, you've got to say.
Okay.
Did it pick up a PADC? No, I don't think so. It didn't run, did it? Right. It's not worth anything, is it? It is an award-winning ad just because of the reasons we're talking about. You know, cheek. You know, Cannes isn't based on sales. Although if it did move a shipload of meat, then good on it. Who's to say? That's just our meagre and mere opinion. I'm drawing the line.
I think it's definitely one of those that hasn't held up well.
See how more nervous I am about bitching about an ad that's in our own country, because we might bump into these people one day. Doesn't matter if it's somewhere in Norwich, doesn't matter, shit. But it's, I think I'm with you.
I'd be more than happy to give Warren Brown or anybody from BMF who was involved in that a right of reply. The two guys, Damian Davis and Nick Price, the ABC writers, were... not bitchy about it. The couple of articles that I read, one of them, Nick Price actually went on a radio show with Warren Brown, and Warren Brown denied that it was that they'd even seen anything.
Well, they could feel like I said.
He said that they'd written the script before they cast Sam Kerkovich.
Bollocks. I think so.
The script just happened to say, you know, it makes sense. I'm Sam Kekovich.
Unless Sam himself had sort of forgot what show he was on and going, we're doing this again, and maybe added it himself.
As I say, more than happy to give Warren Brown or any of the team that worked on that a right of reply. Drop us a line and we'll have you on the podcast.
Who directed it?
The director was a chap called Phil Rich, who owns his own production company called 2 Feet Films. Phil is a very East Coast Australian kind of guy. He's worked on Sakatar, BPay, did some work for Gruen Transfer, Ancestry.com and Westin Hotels.
So is Phil fee rich?
I think it's fair to say that Phil's probably got two homes, one of which is in Byron.
I'm like you. I think in summary, very good. Wanted to like it more, but maybe it's just because you nor I are really Australian.
Yeah, and you could mount a case to say that it's un-Australian not to love that ad.
Yeah, you could. Well, if you don't like it, leave.
The whole concept of un-Australianism has become one of the pillars of Australian culture, hasn't it? Or Australian white culture. You don't have it in, say, Britain. You don't have the concept of being un-British. In America,
only if you don't
America,
speak...
You do, don't you?
What, being un-British?
The phrase un-American is
very un-American,
But un-Australian, un-American, un-British.
And,
French, maybe they, maybe they do.
Yeah, good. C'est bon.
It's un-French not to let your poodle shit on the pavement in Paris.
Yeah. It's, no, I don't, un-British. No, I don't say un-British.
Is there an equivalent?
Racist, probably. If that was a British ad, and it was a beef, who would it be?
Boris.
Yeah. Right by you invertible. Kill the beef.
It'd be Nigel Farage, wouldn't it?
It would be Nigel Farage. Yeah, and would you find it funny? Probably not.
Read that in Nigel. Do that in Nigel Farage.
Nigel, I don't know. What's a Nigel Farage?
I just fucking gammon.
There's nothing worse than being un-British. I should know, I've been British all my life, and I'm sickened by the creeping of the un-British eroding while great traditions like our custom of eating lamb on Britain Day. Un-British is everywhere. For example... Don't chop our beef into small pieces. Eat it like large steaks. Carve it off the bone, like Grandma used to. And you will sit on his knee whilst he's sucking the Werther's original at the end of the day.
That's a much better script.
So, well, we got the casting in for the un-British beef ad. Oh, who have we got, Barry? We've got Bernard Manning. We've got Jim Davidson. Is that the bloke that did Bill's like? No, sorry, that's Jim Bowen. He's up tomorrow.
Enoch Powell.
Enoch Powell. Sorry,
Oswald someone Bosley.
Called Elizabeth Windsor. She's in.
She's good, eh? Although she's on the shitter.
But don't say anything.
So you can't go in there for 25 minutes.
We've got, who else have we got? Yes, we've got Nigel Farage. No, it's called Farage. It's pronounced Farage, continental. Funny how ironic that is. And we've got Joris Bonson.
You've got Boris Johnson's dad, but they tried to get Boris Johnson's dad, but he's in his chateau in France, isn't he?
Something like that. Joris Bonson, as we call him. It's a look like, oh, yeah. Oh, you can't get beavers thick as the books on Chamberlain. Oh. Oh, Churchill, not Chamberlain. Yeah. Enoch Powell, that was another one.
I think we could go on and on here.
Yeah, but we won't.
Thanks very much, Tony. That was enjoyable. My memory of that ad is a lot happier than the actuality of revisiting it.
It always is.
I remember
look at pictures of yourself when you were younger.
I remember seeing it on TV at the time and thinking that it was, you know, quite funny.
Well, that's
quite
engaging.
Then I'm 15 years old and the country's 15 years older.
But we digest them in the format they're intended, yeah, as a TV ad that happens in between the cricket and the football, or football and the football, or the football and the news and the football and the news and weather. And when you go back and analyse them, that's how we pronounce it here. analyze them, right? It's we do look into them, and you know, if the scariest thing is like market research, you know, you ask someone's opinion.
The best bit of context for that is that tidbit from the front about John Brogdon calling the Premier of New South Wales, Bob Carr's wife, a mail order bride.
Yeah.
That tells you everything that you need to know about the context of this ad.
I did like my joke afterwards though, but it didn't come to us, he got hit by a car.
I think it's a bit too subtle for this podcast.
Really?
Yeah. We've established that the level of humour is jokes about the Queen taking a shit.
Fair enough.
So your little bon mot about, you know, Bob, play on words about Bob Carr, that's not as funny.
It wasn't said in his living room.
Queen Elizabeth II having gastro.
Gibbs won the shits. So it didn't. One's going for number one. No, Philip, one's going for two.
Philip wants.
Yes, darling.
One shat oneself.
So don't you think, as a guy, so he was there, vehicle comes ploughing into the living room whilst he's watching TV, a big burly Filipino woman gets out and goes, who ordered the car? No. Because her name was Carr.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No. Okay.
The delivery was good, though.
So we're talking about the diggers, and I wouldn't want a tofu. I was thinking about that because my wife, yeah, being Asian, her relatives were in supplies in the army. So there's their responsibility to go to the front line. And when they, you know, the enemy troops were advancing, they used to jump out and go, supplies!
And again, listener, the only reason that Tony can get away with this is because his wife is Japanese.
Because some of my best friends are racist. These aren't the only. When we're long gone.
Oh, by the way,
they'll find the mystery tape.
I'm now continually using Natsuko's phrase when things are going wrong. That it's a bad situation.
Yeah, this is a terrible situation. And so when she wants to chat and I don't, I call that a conversation.
Okay, thanks very much, Tones. We're going to end it there.
Thanks, Steve. Happy Australia Day.
Happy Australia Day, mate.
And remember, Advance Australia Fair.
That was our review of a classic ad from simpler times. Thanks for turning up again. It's been emotional. Hit the subscribe button and you can listen to two middle-aged men laughing at their own jokes every week. Give us a review if you like. You can't hurt our feelings, since we both come from a time and a place where it was illegal to actually have any. Anyway, ta-ra for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.